love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, today. Why? Because you cared for me. You know, you have to take some of these things personally. It's not just singing a song. We're talking about reality. We're talking about a real God every day, all the time, that cares for me. Look at your, point to yourself and say, I'm glad the Lord cares for me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this afternoon, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here in the house of prayer. We're so thankful, Lord, to be on the air, to be hearing the word of God, to hear from people of God that love you. They love you. We love you today, God. You cared for us in such special ways. And we're thankful. We're grateful, Lord. You proved your love for us, and that while we were yet in our sins, you died. You died in our place. And for that, we can never repay you. There's not enough money. There's not enough gold and silver on earth to pay you back for what you've done for us. And so all we have, Lord, is our thanks. All we have is our hearts to say, Lord, thank you for saving our souls. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for waking us to see a new day. This is the day that you made. And God, you made this day before time began because you knew that we would need that sunrise this morning, that we would need once again to see who you are, our great, our faithful creator and sustainer. And Lord, even as you spoke in the beginning and you said that this day would come in 2023, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being in this day. We're not here by accident. Hallelujah. We're not here by our own efforts. Jesus. We're not here by our own strength. We're not here for nothing. You have purposed in us, and you've brought us through to today for a reason. Look, there's someone that needs to know who Jesus is. Someone needs to see the light that you have placed in us. Someone needs to understand that there is a God who cares and who loves. And so this afternoon, God, we say thank you for your word. Lord, I step back that you might step ahead and step forward, that you speak through me, speak into the hearts of your people. Your word, your living word, your word is alive and is powerful and is sharp and is able to pierce. It's able to penetrate deep down there and where we live, where we need you the most. So we say thank you. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. This afternoon, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do something we used to do in the old church. We're going to do a responsive reading of the 100th Psalm in the New King James Version. The Psalm 100, because the message this afternoon is, are you a worshiper? Okay. And so we're going to look at that idea. We're going to talk about that idea. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about what a worshiper is. And so at the end of this message, you'll be able to say for sure whether or not you are a worshiper.
All right.
So that's the question. Think about it. Are you a worshiper? The 100th Psalm. Let's read that. Actually, I want you all to stand up again. I mean, you just sat down, but stand up with me. I want you to read this Psalm 100, and I want to read it out loud. I want to read it with meaning. Amen. I'll tell you why, because I'm going to read the first verse, and then we're going to start. The first verse says, make a joyful shout or a joyful noise to the Lord. So we're going to shout this out. We're going to say it loud. I want you to say it like you mean it. The whole five verses. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do 1, 2, 3. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Give the Lord a hand praise. Be seated. And if you read those verses like you meant them, if you meant it from your heart, then you just might be a worshiper. Okay, you remember that comedian? He used to say, if you go in your backyard and you cut the grass and find it in your backyard a car, you just might be what? A redneck. Okay, we're not talking about redneck jokes here, but that's the guy was hilarious. But I want to say to you that if you read those words that we just with meaning, if you really meant what you read, you just might be a worshiper. But we're going to look at that. And so when we look at the idea of worshiping and worship, let's define what worship is. And it's very simple. Simply, worship is acknowledgement of someone or something's worth. The word worship comes from a word that's combined worth and ship. And they put the two together and came up with worship. Why? Because a ship was just another name for what? A holding thing, a vessel. And so it carried something. And what did it carry? It carried value. And so they put the two together and you come up with what? Worship. So by extension, the word worshiper means one who acknowledges another's worth either by bowing down or through religious devotion. And so as Christians, we know that worship comes in many forms. Christians may also involve prayer and adoration to the Lord. We pray and we sing songs to the Lord. That's worship. Worship of God may also involve study of the word and meditation of the word, of the Holy Scriptures. And it may include sharing your faith with others. All those things are implied in the idea of worship. Amen? Amen? So when we look at some of the characteristics of worship, I'm going to give you a few. These are not all, but I'm going to give you a few. Worship is a product of the will. All right. It's a product of the will. It's a conscious decision to worship God. All right. Worship is an action whose motivation comes from the heart. You worship from your heart. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So worship comes from the heart. Worship has to have an object of appreciation. You don't just worship to be worshiped. You worship someone or you worship a thing. It has to have an object of appreciation. And finally, worship requires submission to someone who is superior in worship. Amen. So when we look at the word worship, either Old Testament or New Testament, the Old Testament word for worship is shaka. And the word in the New Testament is proskuneo. They both mean the same thing, which is to prostrate yourself before someone in a superior position. In the Hebrew culture, it meant to prostrate yourself before someone who was above you for the purpose of either kissing their feet or kissing the hem of the garment of the priest. And so that was what worship meant. It meant to prostrate yourself. So when we think of those ideas, let's think about what we know worship looks like. We know worship looks like prayer. When we pray to God, we are worshiping God. We are saying to God, I know that you're above me. You're above all things, and I need your help. And I want to let you know, I want to acknowledge who you are. And it implies relationship. Because Jesus, when they asked him, Jesus, show us how to pray, like John's disciples told him how to pray. And the first thing Jesus says, he says what? When you pray, you say what? Father in heaven. Which what? Implies what? Relationship. Our Father who is in heaven. Relationship is different than God being some abstract idea. When you say God and you're talking to God and you call him God, You're saying you don't have relationship. But when you call him Father, all right. Oh, my Father. All of us here, that most of us here grew up with fathers. I know my wife did not have a father. And her the next best thing was either her uncle or her grandfather. But most of us here, I know I had a father. And I can remember my daddy when I was little, I would fall asleep in him and mom's bed, and he would pick me up in the middle of the night because I had fallen asleep. He'd take me and put me in my bed. Mm-hmm. That was my father. And I always looked up to my father, but I always knew that I wanted to be like my father because I had what? Relationship. Another idea of worship is spending time in the Word of God. Because you want to know who God is. You want to be closer to your Father. You do that by studying His Word. It's 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? Study, which meant to be what? Be diligent in the Word. Study to show yourself what? Approved unto God. What else did it say? A workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing. And the word, we talk about studying the Word. We're really talking about rightly dividing. So it's one thing to read the Word. It's another thing to study the Word, to divide it up, to study it and break it down and see what it's really saying. Spending time in the Word. And the other thing about prayer, I go back to the prayer, because prayer is communion with God. Communion means a back and forth. It's not just you talking and saying what you have to say to God, but it's also what? Listening to what God has to say back to you. Well, how does that work? Well, a lot of it has to do with going back to what we just talked about, studying the Word of God. Staying in the Word of God is God speaking back to you. So all this has to do with what? Worship. The other aspect of worship is sharing your faith. When you go and tell people how good God is to you, what God has done for you, why it would be good for them to investigate this idea that I'm telling you about this God that you cannot see. All right. He's invisible, but he's more real than anything you can touch or see. 1 Peter 3:15 says to every man an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. How are you gonna get that? Through studying his Word, through staying in his Word, through finding out who God is through his Word. We just read about a Samaritan woman in our study. And that Samaritan woman, when she found out who Jesus was, that he was the Savior, what did she do? She dropped her water pots.
That's right.
This woman walked probably half a mile with these two water pots to go and get water out of a well. But when she found out who Jesus was, she realized it's not the regular, the physical water I need spiritual water. She left those water pots. And when she left those water pots, she was leaving her past behind. She was leaving all the ridicule behind. She was leaving all the hurt behind. Remember, she was at that well in the middle of the day because there was no women there to criticize her. And so she was there. But when she left those water pots, she was leaving all the past, the hurts all behind. And she went to town. And what did she do when she got to town? She told everybody that she came in contact with.
That's right.
She says, come and see a man.
Yes.
That told me everything that I ever did. This must be the Messiah. This has to be him.
Yes.
And so all these people got changed lives. And this was the first person that he even acknowledged who he was. It wasn't even a Jew.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Jew. It was this Samaritan woman. She goes to town, tells all these people. Jesus goes to town and stays for 2 days with these foreigners that nobody else wants to be come anywhere near. And what does it say at the end? Many believed because of what this woman said, come and see a man. So this is another act of worship. When you go and tell people who Jesus is, how he has changed your life. When you have a testimony and you tell them, look, I know what you're going through. I can tell you that I know a man who he knows me. He knew me in the midst of my mess, and he still loved me. And I can tell you that he still loves you too.
Right. Amen.
So another way of worship, giving. Giving is worship. Mm-hmm. And when we think about giving, we only think about money and tithing and offerings, but that's only one part of giving. You also give of your time. You give of your expertises. You give of your gifts, what God has gifted you with. If you're a musician, you can worship him in music. Just like Sister Amanda gets on this thing and she worships the Lord as she is playing the music and she is worshiping the Lord. And when she worships the Lord, we get to worship with her, don't we?
Amen.
And we include, we're all in this together. We are worshiping the Lord. You also give of your talents, what God has gifted you. Remember, we like to talk about the gifts in the 1 Corinthians, you know, the gifts of this and the gift of that. And you use those gifts. You don't walk around and say, look at the Lord gave me this gift and talk about how the Lord gave you a gift. No, you use the gift to help others. You use the gift because God has sent you with that gift for that person, for that time, because they need help. That's worship. So let's look at why we worship and how we worship. We worship to give honor and reverence to the Lord. Revelation 4:11, where you see the elders are bowing down and they say to God, thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power. And it says they cast their crowns before the Lord. They are worshiping the Lord.
Yes.
Psalm 118:1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why?
Yes.
For he is good. And what? His mercy endures forever. The 22nd Psalm, verse 3, says something that's very powerful. Why we worship the Lord? It says when we worship the Lord, it says he inhabits the praises of his people. He is in the middle of the praise. When you worship and you raise your hands to the Lord and you're singing songs and you're talking to the Lord, it says he's inhabiting your praise.
Yes.
He's in your midst. He's in your midst to help you and to treat you and to do what you need done because he's in your midst. Why do we worship? Psalm 16:11 says in his presence is what? Fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. So there's a blessing by worshiping the Lord. The first psalm in the Psalms has 150 psalms. The very first psalm says, blessed. It starts out with blessed. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth what? Meditate day and night. And he shall be what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. And it says his leaf will not what? It will not wither. And it goes on to say, and everything he does shall what? Prosper. So there's benefit to us that worship to worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
So, John 4:23. This goes back to the woman at the well, where she starts to discuss how the Jews worship in Jerusalem and how we worship up here in Samaria. And so which is the right place to worship? Jesus says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you worship over there or worship over here. It says when you do worship, what God is looking for is for you to do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. What is he saying? He says it's no longer about what the law of Moses has told you you need to do. It's no more about offering sacrifices. It's not about that anymore. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. And for us today, it's not about denominations. It's not about being baptized. Worshiping in spirit and truth has to do with worshiping with a heart of gratefulness.
Yeah.
It's about a person with a changed heart.
Amen.
Who has come to the Lord with grateful heart and saying, Lord, I thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
I thank you for what you've done for me, how you changed my life.
Yeah.
And you turned my life around. And this is where Paul says, what old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So let's look at that 100th psalm. We started with the 100th psalm where I had you to shout it out. So let's look at some of those verses because this is a powerful situation that's going on here. He says, shout with joy to the Lord. And this is a directive. One of the Asaph or one of those psalmist. He's given a directive to the people of God, all the earth. And he says, shout it with joy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start talking about worship, before we get on this, if you remember when the people of Israel were in Egypt and Moses went to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. Why? So they can go and worship. God was telling them, I want them to worship me even before he had even proved himself what he was going to do for them. God wanted them to worship. He wanted them to know that this God that I am, I'm not like your idols. I not only am going to bless you, but I have an expectation of you. I expect you to worship me. Why? Because he had in mind that he was going to bless them. So like that song says, what? Don't wait for the battle. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Because you know in the end you're going to win. So he gives them a directive. He wants them to start worshiping me now, because what I'm going to show you is going to be marvelous. The scripture says what? He says, call on me and I'll answer you. And I will what? Show you great and mighty things that you've never seen before. So he says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. So he's saying before you get to church, you should already have joy in your heart. You should already have a praise in your mouth. You know, we get in there, a lot of these churches, they're trying to get you, you know, get you jumping in, and that's supposed to get you excited. You're supposed to come to church excited. Amen. You're supposed to come to church with a praise, because what? He's done great things for you. Amen. He's been good to you. You have breath to breathe. You got up and we talked about the man who was in the tombs, and he had a legion of demons, and Jesus came along and said, get out of him. And what happened? He was in his right mind. Right. You woke up this morning in your right mind. You have reason to come to church with a praise. Thankful. You didn't come to church this morning so you can find something to eat. You didn't come here because you were hungry. You came here already having for something. You already had some breakfast, didn't you? Then you have a reason to praise him. So come with joy, singing with joy. Now, some people don't like to sing. I know some people they couldn't carry a tune in a paper bag, but you still can sing, because he didn't say sing with harmony. He says make what? A joyful noise. So even if it sounds noisy to me, you have a joy in your heart, and you should be singing to the Lord. Why? Verse 3 says, he says, acknowledge the Lord. Mm-hmm. That what? He is God. We have a lot of idols that we worship. We don't call it worship. And if I were to say to you, you know, you're worshiping that car. You sit up there, you know, polishing it, take an hour to shine it and make it. And you see a little smudge, you're idolizing that car. Those things that you spend all that time with, you're idolizing. Why do I say that? Because God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anything you put in your mind, in your heart, that you spend more time with than you spend with God has become your God. Yes. We don't want to admit that. That sports team that you spend hours and hours. Look, we have altars in our homes. We have rooms, we have banners on the wall, the Rams, we got the banners, we got the t-shirts, we got the memorabilia. You have made an altar, you have made a shrine to your God. You spend all that time. How much time do you spend with the Lord? Are you a worshiper? I haven't answered that question. We're going to see the answer in a minute. Are you a worshiper? Where did it go? He is, it says, acknowledge the Lord as God. He is God because what? He made us. Not we are. You didn't make yourself. And you can't make nobody. All these scientists, they can replace your hip. They can replace your heart. They do heart transplants. They do kidney transplants. You can get knee replacements. Mm-hmm. Amen. They got things, the parts of the eye they can replace. But I can tell you right now, you cannot make a person. No. You can clone a person, but you're only making a copy of something that's already there. Right? You can do in vitro fertilization, where you take sperm and you put it in a tube, and you can move it and put it into an egg, and you can, but you still didn't make the sperm. You didn't make the egg. You can't make a human. It is he that made us, not we ourselves. We have to give him honor for that. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What is he talking about here? This takes us back to the 23rd Psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And for us, we're not sheep. We are human. And he still makes us lie down and rest. I'm going to tell you something. This is a scientific situation. All right. When that scripture says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, I kid you not. The more you study the human body, you just get more. It's marvelous.
Yes.
Do you know that the reason why you get sleepy in the evening? When nightfall comes? Because in the center of your brain, you have a gland called the pineal gland. That gland responds to light. When the light goes away, that gland secretes something called melatonin. You know, you can buy it over the counter. They tell you to take melatonin for sleep. Your body makes melatonin naturally. When sun goes down, see, we don't live in the places where there's no light. So we got lights all over the house. And so it becomes a little different, a little difficult for us to fall asleep. But that's the reason you get drowsy in the evening, is because the sun goes down. And that pineal gland secretes melatonin. Melatonin makes you start to get a little drowsy. You know, your eyes get a little heavy, you know. And in the morning when the light comes up, the sun comes up, then your that part of your brain, it detects light. And when it detects that light, that melatonin secretion stops and that drowsiness goes away and you start to wake up. This is what God put into you.
All right.
This is a natural occurrence. He says, he makes me lie down, because he already built into you that at a certain point of the day, you're going to rest. And thank God that while we're resting, he's just not there watching, just not watching, taking what, you know, watching us just to protect us. It says he restores my soul.
Yeah, you're doing something.
He's restoring your soul. He's restoring your body,
amen,
giving you more energy, giving you more, you know, luster. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. And then it says what? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
All right now.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You have so much to be thankful for. And into his courts with praise. Honor him. Why? For the Lord is good.
Yes, sir.
The Lord is good. And you might be going through tough times. You might be going through hard times. You might feel like you're all alone. I can tell you, it's one thing to be alone. Or feel alone, or feel lonely is what I really should say. It's one thing to feel lonely, but it's another thing to recognize you're not alone. Because he already said, what? I will never leave you. And him being with you is not about how you feel.
Right.
It's not about feelings. It's about promise. It's about the word of God. The word of God is true. He cannot lie. He said he'll never leave you. The Lord is good. And this is the part I really love. His unfailing love. Why is his love unfailing? Because God is love.
That's right. Amen.
If God says, I'm with you always, his love is with you always.
Amen.
If you need provision and you don't see it, doesn't mean anything, because the word of God says, my God shall supply.
Amen.
He's our provider. When he's great I am, we call him the great I am, don't we? He is what? My provider.
Yes.
If he's there, you're going to have your provision. And sometimes that provision doesn't look like what we think it should look like. We pray for, you know, Lord, I need this. I need, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, God knows what you need. What you need may not be what you think you need. And sometimes God will allow you to go without certain things for a while. Why? Because he's doing something. God is not just sitting around not doing it, just doing something, doing nothing just to be not doing nothing. There's a purpose in everything God does. Even when he doesn't give you your answer to your prayer right away, there's a purpose in that. Because what? Remember what he's doing with all this? He wants us to trust him because he's doing something. He is making us in the image of his son. Amen. And for some, that means he's not going to answer your prayer right away. What did he do with Abraham? He told Abraham at age 75, you're going to have a son. Mm-hmm. And Abraham thought, oh, she's going to get pregnant in a minute. It would be how many years later? Mm-hmm. 24 more years. Then she'd get pregnant after some time. So somebody said, what? A promise that is delayed is not a promise that is denied. So we continue to trust God and trust his timing for what we need. He is good and his love is unfailing. It continues forever.
Forever.
Wow. It continues and throughout every generation. Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your grandkids? Are you praying for those kids that haven't been conceived yet? Pray for your kids and their grandkids' grandkids. Deuteronomy chapter 5 talks about, he says he will visit the sins of the father on the children of the third and fourth generation of those that reject me. But, because I'm thank God it was a but there. He says, but he will visit he said, I will lavish my love on the children for 1,000 generations of those that love me.
Wow.
Now that's something. So compare the ones that reject him. He said third and fourth generation, which means the even when he visits the sins on them, he's doing it in mercy. He didn't say for 1,000 generations. He said for the third and fourth generation.
Amen.
But for those that love him, 1,000 generations. You see why we have to pray for our children, and their children's children? So that they get saved, so that they follow that custom of worship.
Yes.
1,000 generations.
Wow.
So I'm going to wrap this up with some examples of worship that you might not even thought of as worship. Acts chapter 16, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang songs. What has happened is they have been preaching and they have been, they decided in town, we don't want them, we don't like them, we don't like what they got to say, and they got beaten up. They beat them with sticks and threw them down into the prison dungeon, and they chained them up with chains. After going through all that, most of us be down there crying, oh, what, I'm hurting and help, I didn't do anything wrong, and whining. That's what most of us would be doing. But the Bible tells us that at midnight, this was at midnight, and so a lot of times we have these midnight experiences. Midnight is a representation of what? The darkest part of the day. The darkest parts of your life. At midnight, after being beaten, after being chained up, it said Paul and Silas prayed. You see, sometimes our answer is not to whine. It's not to complain. It's to pray. And then it says they sang songs. They worshiped the Lord in song, even in the midst of pain. And when they did that, something happened.
All right.
It says that the whole place shook. And then the bars opened. And then all the chains, not just the chains on Paul and Silas, but the chains on everybody in the prison broke off. To the point where the guard, he saw that the gates were open, and he thought, oh my God, they probably all escaped. And he got ready to kill himself. Because if you were a Roman guard and the prisoners escaped, they would chop your head off. And he got ready to kill himself. And then Paul screams out, don't kill yourself. We're still here.
Yeah. Amen.
Not only did they worship the Lord, but the Lord did something in their worship. And then it became a witness to the guard.
Yeah.
We're still here. We're not going anywhere. And that guard said, what must I do to be saved? Now that's what worship does. When you worship the Lord, things start to happen. in chapter 7 of Luke, the woman with the alabaster box. And in Mark chapter 14, another woman with another alabaster box. In chapter 7 of Luke, this woman was there to anoint Jesus for his burial. And the woman in the book of Mark, she poured the same type of perfume on his feet, and she kissed his feet, and she wiped his feet, and everybody got excited and upset because you must not know who this woman is. But those women were worshiping.
Yeah, amen.
This what they were pouring on Jesus was expensive. So worship also means what? You give of the best that you have to God.
Yes, yes.
He gave his best to you in giving his only son. And it's a small thing for us to think about that, giving our best to him. Mark chapter 12 talks about a widow who only had what was less than a half a cent. And Jesus would say to her, all you people that are coming in with all this money and you rattling all this money and you know, like we do, we want to announce how much money. Here's such and such, gave $100. You know, this woman gave all that she had.
Yes.
All this. And Jesus would say of her, this, you see this woman? He said, what? You see this woman? She gave more than all you guys. Why? Because they gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her lack. She didn't have it to give, and she gave it anyway. Now, that's worship. Genesis chapter 22, we see a man named Abraham who had a son named Isaac. And we went through this study. I don't have to tell you who he is and who that. But God tells him, that son that you love so much, that one called laughter, the one that you didn't even believe was even going to be born. I want you to take him now, and I want you to kill him. Offer him as a sacrifice. And you know what Abraham did? He saddled his donkey. He said, come on, we're going up. We're going. And notice what Abraham says. We are going up to worship.
Yes, we'll be back.
And we're coming back. We're going to worship. Giving of your best in worship. Giving a sacrifice to God. That's worship. And then finally, there is one that we all are aware of. His name is Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he prayed, and he three times he would come back. And that, and after the third time, he would finally say what? Father, not as I will, but as you will. And he had surrendered himself.
Yes, yes.
And he had surrendered his will before God and say, what? God, is you, what you want is always better. We don't like the idea of pain. We don't like the idea of suffering. Jesus was 100. We talked about it in power. Jesus was 100% God. But when we see in the garden, it's that we see that Jesus was also 100% man. He had feelings. And the idea of his father being separated from him was overwhelming. He was in turmoil to the point where he sweat. The scripture says what? As it were drops of blood. But he was what? Willing to surrender his will to the Lord. Another way we talk about what? Worship. So when we think about what we know about worshipers, we know what? That worship means what? Prayer.
Yeah.
Communion with God. Mm-hmm. Fellowship with God. That's worship. Worshipers love the word of God.
Yes.
Why? Hallelujah. We love the word of God because that's our spiritual food. You love food. You love breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You love steak. You love that. I'm gonna tell you right now, restaurants are sharpening their knives because they know the church is about to be out, because the church people are headed to the restaurant. That's what church people do. They go after church. They go eat.
Where's the chicken?
Get the chicken wings. They're going to eat. Well, the spirit man is well, needs to eat.
Yes.
The spirit man eats the word of God.
Yes.
And just like you, those of you that are familiar with steaks and different types, and you know which is the best, that filet mignon, that Kobe beef, so delicious. Well, the Bible says something else. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Worshippers share their faith, right? You don't just, when you, listen, when you have women with kids have pictures, they kept conversation, they pull out that, let me show you my baby, my granddaughters, these are my grand, you love to talk about those kids, don't you? Why? Because they're on your heart. That's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about how you love them, how you love to be around them, how they just love, because what? We say kids make us feel young, right? Well, this is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
That worshipers talk about what they love, which is Jesus. What is your conversation in the world? What is it that you talk about? That's what's in you. Only what's in you is going to come out of you. Are you a worshiper of God? Worshippers are givers. We give of our money. We give of our time. We give of our talents. We give of our resources. We pray one with another because we are, what, worshiping.
Yes.
And finally, and most importantly, as worshipers, we are servants. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you think you are in the rung of, you know, political, you know, what we call religious politics. You got position. You're the minister of this and you're the superintendent of that. I can tell you this, that the more higher you get, the more responsible for souls you become.
Amen.
You have more responsibility to be a servant. I'm going to tell you this, if Jesus, who created everything, he was the word that said, let there be, and everything became. Nothing became everything. This is Jesus. And if he came to earth, he condescended. He took and left glory, came down here to be a man. And if that man, who the man named Jesus, the one that said, come and see a man, or the one that told the woman at the well that I am he, and she said, come and see him. This man who did all that on the Last Supper washed his disciples' feet. If the creator is subservient, because he said, I came not to be served, but to what? To serve. If the creator came to serve, how much more us?
Yes.
That we should be servants. Are you a worshiper? That's the question. Are you a worshiper? Or are you just a church person? Are you just a church member? I can answer the question. I told you I was going to answer the question. I can answer the question right now. You are. You're a worshiper, even if you don't worship God. You're worshiping something. So we're all worshipers of something. So the question that we want as those that are in church, am I a worshiper of the Lord?
Yes.
Am I a worshiper of the one that has done the most for me?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Isaiah chapter 26 tells us something that says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, who, because what? He trusts in thee. Who keeps his mind on him. That's what a worshiper is. You know, where are your thoughts? What is it that takes control of your mind every day? Is it the money in the bank? Is it your children? God forbid it might be the Lakers. Eighth place with a bullet. Eighth with a bullet.
Fade fast.
But where is your heart? That's where you worship me. So I exhort you today to turn to God. And make him your number one, because the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is, he, you know, he, not only is God a jealous God, but he says, the scripture says, He says, my name is jealous. Elkanah, my name is jealous. That's my wife. Do you know if I saw some man walking down the street with her hand in his hand, I'd be a little perturbed. Just a tad. she would, what did he say? Like Lucy and Ricky, you got some splaining to do. Because God is a jealous God, and he loves you. He loves you so much, he does not want to see you worshiping other gods. Because worship of other gods is idolatry. Idolatry sends you straight to hell. The Bible tells us that God is not his will that what? Any should perish, that all should come to repentance. God bless you. The Lord loves you. I love you. I love the Lord this afternoon. For he heard my cry. Amen. Are you a worshiper? Everybody that's a worshiper, raise your hand if you're a worshiper today. Amen. All right, then give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise him. Sister Amanda's getting ready to lead us in some song as we do what? Worship. Amen.
Praise him.
All right. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the morning.